Hey, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of our listeners all over the world. I'm Baron Miller, your host of the Revamp Podcast. Today, I have JM Bookie. She right now is helping in the Scott Lee's company as a consulting company doing the RevOps. And she also has a lot of experience in operations at Quali, where she joined. It was 50 people. Now it's 500 people. And today we're going to have a nice, potentially nice conversation.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. An awesome conversation about systems and technology stack and how actually technology affects not just people's efficiencies, but actually helps with employee retention, something, a conversation I think it's going to be super interesting. I'm really curious to hear what JM has to speak about this, and it seems like she's pretty passionate about it. So JM, welcome to the show.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. So first, before we go in to that topic, if you will, let's talk about more about your background. You mentioned that you've worked at Quali and the consulting company you're at now. Maybe you could elaborate on both of those experiences and current experience.
Sure. Yeah. So over the years, you know, I've done all types of sales roles, from management to SDR management to always in the background, kind of doing, you know, the thing and doing the process, and, you know, come to the realization years later that is what I love. I love doing process, and I like to be as efficient as possible so we can drive the right insights. And so I got the pleasure of working at, you know, such a great company like Qualia, where, you know, we were doing a lot of really cool things and just getting started and disrupting an industry. And so we got to, you know, test a lot of different things and really to help make sure that we could drive those types of insights to really get to a point where, you know, the employees were happy and they liked their process and they liked their tool stack. And it made sense. It wasn't going into 20 different places to do, you know, one thing, right? It was, how do we keep the flow as good as possible? Because when they didn't, I will tell you, you know that they're not happy. And so keeping them, you know, as happy as possible so they can just focus on what they do best.
Okay, awesome. I love, so your job is like unofficial chief happy officer for sales.
As cheesy as that is, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what I feel like. I know that, you know, it's important to keep A's happy, right? Everyone wants to be happy in what they do. No one goes into a job saying, oh gosh, I just, or maybe some people do, but I don't think that's very fun. So how do we make sure that people can really, you know, focus on what they do best and really to drive, you know, whatever role that they're in, but, you know, especially in here when we're talking about sales, right? How do they make sure that they can drive as much as possible and just focus on, you know, managing their pipeline to drive, you know, as much and close as much revenue.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And I'm assuming, or I'm positive that a good sales ops person or a good rev ops person that is effective and that does bring happiness to their sales team. Sometimes unnoticed, you know, sometimes it's not that, some sales reps, at least from what I've seen, don't recognize it. But they are happier, even if they don't publicly recognize it, or if they don't even understand how different it is and how much better. But has that ever happened to you personally?
Yeah, I mean, that's 100% right. It's a little bit of a thankless job. Cry myself to sleep. No, but, you know, what you really start realizing, you know, the more and more is that you're doing, what I would say to my team was, we know we're doing a really good job when we don't have a ton of cases and we don't have a bunch of people doing this. And we're proactively going and getting feedback as opposed to people just offering up tons of different things, because people will, you know, especially salespeople, where they are commission based. And so it's so important that you can be as efficient as possible for them to focus, and they're not doing all these activities that they, you know, that don't really contribute to the bottom line. And so it's fun to do. And once you realize that piece of it, that you're like, oh, okay, that process was not good. All right. We got to rewind here. And just keeping an eye and a pulse on that, and just keeping that connection to the team too, so that they feel comfortable giving you the feedback and making sure that they're doing their best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So to, I guess, piggyback on that, like the, and this is just me thinking out loud with you, some salespeople act differently than other salespeople, right? So like, how do you manage, like, how do you evaluate, I guess, how happy they are? Like, let's say one person is what we call old school, if you can see that in the blur of the Zoom, versus like some of the new school sales reps that work a certain way, and then some sales reps work a certain way that may be less efficient, but more their style. Like, what's your experience been working with the different type of sales reps? Not just talking about like, like lone wolves versus non-lone wolves, just more of the newer school versus the older school.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple main things. So the first thing is specificity and clarity, right? So you can't have a good process if you don't have those two things. And so making sure that it's as clear as possible to all those different people, right? Like if I'm going and I have this new school way of doing something versus an old school, right? It's, you know, there's commonalities still, because sales is still sales at the end of the day. And so how do we make that as easy as possible and really clear to both sides? And then from there, it's getting the feedback and watching them do it. And so I'm so big on, you know, talking about the why behind it and why we're doing certain processes in certain ways and making sure that it resonates. And if someone doesn't, you know, believe in it and understand the why, then that's on me. And so constantly asking people, especially as I'm doing training, it's like, okay, that's great. What's that metric and why is it important? Okay, and then what does that do? And what's the outcome of that? And so really calling on people where maybe it's not comfortable for them, but I have no problem with it. And so making sure that I'm just constantly asking people in, you know, these group settings and individual settings, and saying, and really getting to so that it becomes, you know, one and the same, and then getting that feedback and they feel comfortable in a safe space to do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I actually love that. With that calling out kind of methodology, you did that also only now at the consulting company, or also even before when you were at Qualia?
Yeah, but both, right? I feel like I've always kind of done it. Calling out can have a bad connotation. I'll put it in quotes too. but it's basically just making sure that, you know, especially in this remote world, that people aren't falling asleep, right? Mm-hmm. Ops is not exciting, let's be honest, right? It's not the most exciting thing to learn. People don't wake up in the morning and say, yay, I get to have an ops training, right? Like, so how do I make that as, you know, as beneficial as possible and really keeping people awake and keeping them engaged and making sure that they understand the why? Because otherwise, if people don't understand the why and how it relates to their bottom line, then it really doesn't matter. It's not going to be done, and it's not going to be done accurately. And if your data is not accurate, then it really doesn't matter. You might as well just kind of throw it out, and they can't get the insights either. So then it's also showing them that you are using it and that the process does work and that this is how much time they're saving. And so just constantly, you know, there's a lot of sales involved, right? Where you're just constantly selling, you know, this is the process and this is why, and this is how it's benefiting you, and this is how much time you save this month, or this is an insider, this is something that marketing did different because of it. And so really making sure that you're just constantly showing those benefits. And then if there aren't any, then that's probably not good. And so that probably tells you that you probably should make an adjustment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love that. I'm like thinking like, what would be super cool is if like there was like a ROI playbook calculator, like an ROI calculator for sales ops. Be like, this is how to prioritize. And when you get to this, this is exactly what you'll show your team and be like, this is the amount of time you have this many sales reps, and then this is how much time they're saving with this thing on average. It could be really.
Oh, definitely. Cool. Yeah. I mean, I remember one time we did something and we were showing, because we were trying to, you know, even get a different tool, and we're like, okay, we're spending hundreds of hours on running commissions at the end of every month or something like that, right? And so you look at it, and when you actually put pen to paper, it's usually shocking to people how much time, or like you time them and you go on Zoom and you're like, okay, I just want to see how you work, share your screen with me, and you're like timing them, and it's shocking, and it's like, whoa, okay, that's really not that's not good. How do we trim that? Because if you're doing 300 accounts and you're, you know, spending an extra 3 minutes on each of them, that's hours and hours, hundreds of hours a year that you're spending on one thing.
Yeah. And probably a boring thing if it's 3 minutes.
Yeah. And, I know. I like ops. I think it's exciting when you have good process, but I don't think that a lot of people would say
that. Right. No. I'm boring specifically a 3 minute thing that you have to do that 300 different a year. Specific that. Oh, okay, cool. So this is a great, I guess, segue into the topic that I introduced that we discussed before starting about just the importance of the sales stack or any stack, I guess, and methodologies to employee retention. It seems that you have some, like, either when we spoke about it, it sounds like you have a lot on this. So I'll let you get started where you think it makes sense to get started. And let's go from there.
Yeah. So I like to kind of go again, doing the same thing of going to the why. So it's first, right? How do I clearly define, like, what is a happy employee, right? A happy employee is, like, I guess I'd ask you, like, what do you think makes a happy employee?
Okay, cool. I like this. The calling out is here. I get to listen. Yeah. Everyone listening gets
started. Yeah, now everyone can see.
Happy employee. I think there's, off the top of my head, I think it starts at salary, kind of like that foundation. It's like, am I getting paid? Am I getting paid fairly? Am I able to maintain the life I want at home at this job? I think that's one part where usually ops has less, I guess, connection to. The next thing is
the teams.
And these, again, are mine from a product marketing, but I'm sure some will overlap with sales. Next is the work I'm doing being retained by other people? Are people using the assets I'm creating? Is the work I'm doing helpful for others? So I'm sure as an person, you can relate to that a lot, that you do all these processes, you create case studies, for example, you create all these things that enable your sales team. Is it actually being adopted, right? That's something that even though it really doesn't matter, right? I created the output. It shouldn't matter, but it does matter and does show my happiness. And then I guess another thing for me is, and again, it's not being offensive to ops, I don't think, but boring, repetitive task. I don't like, so getting rid of boring, repetitive tasks that could be automated. That is something that I like when things are automated, when they can be. And have good coworkers, a good boss, being able to collaborate with and being able to be with a team that wants to grow together versus like push each other down. So I think I covered the things that make me happy. I'll re-listen to this and be like, I forgot with that thing.
No, I think those are spot on. So, and you said a couple of things too that, you know, especially stood out to me. So like, you mentioned that the salary isn't necessarily even something that ops can control, but we can show how are people hitting commission and how do we help people hit their commissions faster and more often, right? Mm-hmm. And so that does tie into it, right? A bad process, you're not going to really, it's going to be way more difficult to sell because you don't know, you know, okay, if I do this action, where do I go to do the next action? Or if I'm doing this action and I'm trying to put, like, an example would be like, there might be a status on a contact and an account, and a, you know, there's an opportunity and then a task status. And if people are having to like write these things down every single time, right? That's probably a pain in the butt. And so similar to what you said, which is like, nobody likes to do busy work. People don't like you want to, again, focus on the thing that you'd love doing and be able to clearly problem solve with your teammates. And you can't do that if you don't have a really clear process.
This is how it's going to benefit you.
And so how do you make sure that you're automating that?
How do you automate it back to
how do you make sure that, again, like, it's like if it could be a one-click world, that would be the ideal. Obviously, that's not possible. However, how do you get to that, right? How do you go and every single month look at, you know, your list of fields and say, all right, which one's automated, which one's manual? And every month you could probably delete fields you could probably go through it and say, all right, so I'm going to delete these fields. And then I'm looking at this. I'm like, why is that not automated? Right. And so constantly challenging yourself and thinking of new ways. And if you don't think of it, right, it's looking at your team. That's where that great team comes into play. I don't know. I mean, you know, I know some, but there's a lot I don't know. And people think of really great solutions. So being super open, and sometimes being open means, you know, you might get feedback that the whole thing is terrible and that you need to start from scratch. So not being like emotionally tied to the process either. I know I used to do, you know, this work and it put together this process, and then someone would be like, this is awful. Or I'd look at a rep and it'd be like, this is awful. And it, of course, would be like, I just spent 40 hours on that. But it doesn't really matter because it's not good, and it's better that it's good and that the person enjoys it. And because everyone's going to be, you know, happier down the line. Again, people, what makes people happy is that they can hit their goals and focus on things as in the best way possible. And that's where, again, that process and tooling, but the process with the tooling becomes so important. And that then ties into too, like, how do you make somebody efficient, right? So it's, how do I define efficiency? What does it mean to me? How often should you look at it? So really having a process for how you evaluate your process too is a really important part, so that you can, you know, you're constantly changing too. And it's not just like, well, I built this great process a year ago, right? It's how do I just make sure that I constantly am looking at it and making tweaks here and there. Not obviously tweaking every single month, but like, how do I just make sure that I'm removing any roadblocks and, you know, duplicative efforts and things like that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that. I have a few questions that I'm going to, let's save this for later, because it'll be too much of a tangent, but I'm curious how you balance for later, how you balance asking to being shown as a leader, like that confidence, versus learning from people. Because you mentioned that you want to ask them, for the sales reps, for their opinions, but then they could be, but then if you ask them like a certain way, then they'll be like, oh, this person doesn't know what they're talking about,
yeah, person,
et cetera. I want to put that on the side. I just want to say it so I don't forget. And I think, I guess we could start thinking about it, but.
Well, we can tackle that one.
All right, so let's talk about that.
That's a good, yeah, that's a good question. So that, I mean, that's definitely like a key one, right? You need your salespeople, or, you know, if you're RevOps, right? In, and that you're doing research on your own too, to make sure that you have this best in class operational excellence in your org. And so there's a few things that I've found have been super helpful in doing that. One is just integrating yourself and being a part of the team. And so, you know, what that might look like is, all right, I'm going to go and I'm going to run some of the sales meetings. Right? Like, I would run sales meeting just like some of the other managers. And so that is the first thing, right? Is that they know that you understand sales, or they know that you understand marketing better than anybody, because you can kind of walk in their shoes. So that's part of it. The second piece is thinking of these new processes and just explaining and setting the expectation that the feedback is going to be so that we can make sure, right? Here's the V1. We're going to make some tweaks. It's not, hey, help me build this process from, you know, soup to nuts. It's, hey, let's actually, I have something. This is what I think is best. Here's why I think it's best. Just like sales, right? It's, this is going to help you sell more and sell more faster. If you made this one tweak, imagine if you could set, you think you could set one more demo a week from that? You think you could set, you know, close one more deal a month from that? And so really making sure that you have that loop in there, and then you just get that feedback, right? As opposed to, you know, just saying,
hey, what if I'm way over here? Just do this together. You unless know, you know that there's like, some other process that, really good at that, you know, I think is important.
You say, how do you think about this?
And they're like, well, no,
but it wouldn't be like, all right,
tell me how you build this process, because then you're going to have 20 different opinions on how to build a process, and that actually makes your job way harder. So I like to say, this is what I, and own the confidence, right? I think before, you know, I was super confident in what I did. It makes a big difference in that leader piece. And so just being really confident because you have the knowledge of, you know, I'm going and, you know, seeking out communities. I'm listening to podcasts all the time, you know, maybe reading books on things, just talking to different people on different roles, and then also integrating myself in the team. So that'll help establish you and build that confidence too in your leadership ability.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Your own confidence shows when you speak. If you're confident, if you have that self-confidence, it is going to show. Okay, cool. No, I'm glad we took a pause to answer that. So companies are investing in their stack and they're investing in their processes. How do they make it, I guess, clear, like, how do they scream at their sales reps saying, this is so important to us. This is, you guys are important to us. We're investing in you. This is a reason to stay. Like, is it more of just a natural, like, oh, things are easy for me, I can focus on sales, or is it something that has to be communicated subliminally or outright?
So which part of the communication are you thinking of? Oh, you're muted.
Yeah. specifically, I'm discussing, and it could be multiple parts of it, but in the sense of one of the things, I guess, the thesis of this podcast is that you can, your processes, your stack will help retain employees. So does it retain employees because it's just everything's easier for them, or it retains employees because they actually view it as a characteristic of the company that they are enabled? You know, like some people have like values on their website, like about us. Oh, we are a tech enabled company to move quickly. And that, like, they talk about it, they repeat it. Or and the CEO talks about the all hands and et cetera. Or is it more of a, wow, I've never had an experience like this. Everything's so smooth. I want to stay here. It's like, because I'm continuing to hit my numbers because of the smoothness.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's both of those things combined, right? It's, you know, talking about it as a, you know, when it relates to a value, and the value is that we are going to help enable you to be successful. And part of that is having, you know, a really good process and being able to drive those insights from it and being able to hit your number, you know, if you're putting in the effort, being able to hit your number better and more consistently because you understand why and why you're not and what's leading to that. And so it's a little bit, like I said, it's a little bit of both of those. But I think it's also on the ops person, like I said, to just be constantly selling, you know, the process and making sure that, you know, people understand. And I do think part of it is, like, if you've had a bad process and come into an organization that has a really good process, that's usually when you kind of see it a little bit more. And when there's a lot of, you know, value in that sales ops person, I think sometimes, you know, organizations might just have a Salesforce admin, and that's not really like a true, like, generalist that's going to be that leader on the team to really, you know, make sure that they're doing all those different things. And so that's part of it too, is making sure you kind of put your sales ops person just like a sales manager, right? I was so lucky at Qualia. They were so great to me, and how you can, you know, how you can succeed, and making sure that people knew that I was a part of the team, and it wasn't just like, oh, don't kind of listen to her type thing. It was, you know, it was great. And that's the exact kind of thing that you want, is, you know, that you have a seat at the table. You're going to, you know, these, all the sales leadership meetings and things like that. And people see that, and you might think it's something little, but it does make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. And the sales leadership meetings, can you elaborate more on that? Like, which specific meetings? They have a lot of meetings, so.
Yeah.
I would try to do a variety, right? I'm not going to go to every single pipeline meeting. I'm not going to go to every single team meeting. But when all of the sales leaders meet on a weekly basis to talk about what's going on in the business and where the focus is, to make sure that we're aligned, because and that trickles down to the AEs, right? If you're trying to fix something that they're like, yeah, but my focus is over here, so I need to know how to fix this right now, right? There's obviously a combination of working on some of that stuff like in the background, but it's also like we have to be aligned just as an organization, and that then would relate to the happiness. Because it's like, have you ever been in an organization where you have one person telling you one thing and another person telling you to focus on something else? That is super frustrating. And you're like, what's my priority here? And so that's where it kind of helps with that alignment. And then again, trickles down to that happiness of the AEs.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had that experience and it is super frustrating. Five on this podcast. Okay, cool. So can companies use this as a recruiting thing? Retaining maybe is easier to communicate, or even without even needing to communicate it. But what about recruiting? Is there a way to grab AEs to your company through a streamlined efforts?
I don't really think that you can sell somebody on like process being being, you know, the reason that people come on, right? What you can do, what usually is kind of the sexier shiny object, is going to be, you know, hey, we have a best-in-class tech stack, and with that, we have the best process to go along with it, so that our AEs can be more successful and really focus on the selling activities that they're doing. But I don't think that you can say, hey, you know, we've spent a lot of time and effort on having a really good process. And someone will be like, okay, cool, because I have my own process. Because everyone has, you know, their own way of doing it. So I think it's a matter of like, they have to just see it once they get there. And then talking to each individual, right? It's how do I make sure that I have that personal relationship with them when they do come on, so that even if someone has this, you know, process that they came on board with, it's again from the get-go becoming a leader to them and, you know, building that relationship.
Yep. No, that makes sense. I had a feeling that was the answer, but I wanted to see if you could bring how do we talk about processes?
I don't know.
How do we communicate the sales stack? How do we communicate that when recruiting? Is it just a comment, or it's someone posting on LinkedIn? Here's our whole sales stack, and you can join this. Like, what are some methodologies you've seen, or some tactics?
Yeah, I think it's a combination, but I don't think necessarily like posting your sales stack is going to be what's, you know, the 100%. Like some people aren't going to be like 100% tied to a certain tool. They know that, you know, it's going to change when you go to a new one, and you're going to get new tools that you never knew even existed because there's a different problem that business is solving. So I think it's a matter of it comes in conversation as you're talking to the person and you realize that you want this person to work there. It's talking about, hey, we have these best in class tools, right, to help you do, you know, XYZ task. It's not like sales acceleration, right? Or, you know, we have, you know, the best enrichment you can have, or we have, you know, XYZ, right? You have the best CPQ around through you all. So things like that are really going to help make sure that, you know, they understand, but also they're not married to their past.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it's not often I get to speak to someone on our podcast that went from 50 to 500 at their company in the sales ops world. I wanted to hear about, obviously your job changed throughout because the company changed throughout. I wanted to hear if you could tell us, like, I don't know, 2-3 minute synopsis, or if you need 5 minutes, take 5 minutes. of that trajectory and what changed. And it'd be cool, I think, to talk about in the context of if someone is looking to join a sales ops at 50 versus 500, like what are the differences? I think that added information could be valuable.
Yeah. I mean, the the biggest differences between the 50 to 500 are, you know, process. So process for doing things. So not just like your sales rep process, but like, if I need to go do a certain thing, there's like a person now that I can go to. It's not just like, go figure it out. I think that journey is extremely exciting, right? Being able to come in and you're being okay with failing a lot at the beginning and having to figure things out. And, you know, you're going to get frustrated, but just remove the frustration and try to just say, all right, I'm going to focus on this thing and I'm going to solve it. And then the other thing that I think really changes is you, because you have more people that are there to help, right? You're able to automate so much more, right? Because it's at the beginning, it can be frustrating, right? And you're like, ah, I don't know. That one thing, it's like, we're not there yet. We need XYZ to get there. And it also might not make sense to automate everything at the beginning because, you know, your process is going to change. And so it's making sure that you're okay with that and being ready for that journey and knowing that you're going to build things and then they're going to get scrapped the next day because the direction is going to change and kind of being able to, you know, duck and weave and go this way and that is exciting. And it's fun to see the growth and fun to, you know, continue to, like I said, problem solve in new ways. But then also part of that is going back to the efficiency conversation we had earlier, right? It's having a process of how you evaluate these things and making sure that every month you're looking at things. Cause as you grow, you know, it's really easy. And I made this mistakes a few times, right? Which is, all right, cool. So we've added on these other teams, right? Have I even sat down with one of these teams? Cause it's slightly different. And so making sure that I'm reviewing like, all right, do these metrics still make sense for that team? Or does this one process make sense for that team? That kind of thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's awesome. Well, JM, you're an all-star. It was awesome having you on the podcast. Thanks so much for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Staying in touch and learning more from you. I think the community can learn a lot from you. If someone, one of our listeners wants to reach out, what's the best way that they can contact you?
LinkedIn is the best way. I'm super active on LinkedIn. And it's just under JM Wilkie, JM two letters, Wilkie, W-I-L-K-E. I think I'm the only one. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one. So I hope to connect with you there and I love talking to new people. So if I can ever be helpful to anyone, don't be a stranger. You know, that's what I do.
All right. Love that. All right. Well, thanks, JM. We'll be in touch.
Thanks, Barry. All right. Bye.